you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. Several weeks ago, when the VA Medical Center in Long Beach was launching its vaccination drive, my mother, who's been a longtime volunteer at the VA, was volunteering her efforts, making sure that not just patients, but veterans, family members, caregivers, people within the personal universes of veterans were getting their vaccinations. She described it as a pretty impressive operation to me. But of course, there are significant numbers of veterans like other people in the country who are not yet vaccinated. And joining us to talk about the efforts to boost the rate of vaccination is the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, Dennis McDonough. Secretary McDonough, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry, and thanks to your mom for volunteering at the VA.
Yeah, she loves being associated with it. Let's talk, first of all, about this challenge. What is the VA doing at this point to up the percentage of veterans, family members, and others in their orbit to get them vaccinated?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, Larry, is we're trying to make sure that every veteran, spouse of a veteran, caregiver for a veteran, child of a veteran understands that if they walk in at any of our clinics, they can get vaccinated. So that's the first thing is we're available. And if you haven't had access to the vaccine, we can get it to you free of charge. So please come in. Second is we're also contacting our vets whom we haven't been in touch with. So we're sending them letters, email, texts. We're making phone calls to make sure that they're aware of what's out there for them. And we're also then making sure that our clinicians, our doctors and our nurses who know our vets very well are on the phone with vets answering their questions if they have them about the vaccine. If there's some particular concern they have, we'll make sure that we answer those questions. And so those are some of the things that we're doing.
What about the effect of the pandemic on VA medical facilities? Because I know that, like other hospitals and medical centers, that a number of procedures were delayed so that you could treat people with COVID, and that they're, you know, now you're getting all that pent-up demand for surgeries, for procedures, things like that. So how are you dealing with that shift as we're coming out of the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, so first of all, you are right that during the height of the pandemic, we had to close some of our medical facilities out of safety and out of concern for our vets. So some of the services that our vets had come to rely on were not available in a traditional way. Urgent care services, we maintained those. And in fact, we find that any urgent care issue that's raised by a vet is resolved in less than a day and a half. And obviously, our emergency department stayed open. But you are right that some of the other services we provided got shifted to video. As has often been the case over the years, the VA is a real leader in health innovation. We saw a nearly 10 times increase in the amount of video appointments we provided for our vets in all sorts of locations across the country. But nevertheless, now, today, veterans, just like the rest of the economy, where somewhere up to 40%, according to CDC, 40% of Americans forewent some kind of health care over the course of the pandemic. We're seeing that, too, with vets. And so sometimes they're coming in with enhanced complications, maybe some things that are a little bit more complex to address. And so we're seeing a significant uptake in VA health care right now, which is good because we're here for our vets, but it also just means that we're going to have to be very nimble in how we do it, and it might end up costing us a little bit more.
In recent years, veterans have had the opportunity to get care in community settings at non-VA facilities for people that live far away from VA medical centers or clinics. They've had that opportunity for others who might prefer to go use a non-VA facility, and their care still ends up being covered. One of the big concerns that people have about that is the costs associated, and also what that means for the VA's own facilities if they end up getting shortchanged because of money that ends up diverted to non-VA community health care. Your response to those concerns and how you balance that?
Excellent point, Larry. It's one of the most important strategic issues that we face as an agency. And just to amplify a moment, the months of March, April, and May of this year saw record levels of care in the community for our vets. So that reflects two things: the surge in need that we talked about a couple of minutes ago, but it also reflects an increased set of opportunities for our veterans to get care in the community if either because they live so far from a VA facility or because there's a extra wait time at the VA facility, they can get authorized to go get that care in the community. So we're seeing huge demand for that right now. So we as the VA are asking ourselves, how is it that we are making sure that we're managing those costs in the community, just as we have to manage costs in the VA system itself. And then we're also asking ourselves, how do we ensure that we're more competitive so that we keep our veterans in our care? So that means we have to continue to offer the full range of specialties that we offer. We have to continue to be the best caregiver for veterans, including by giving all sorts of post-deployment health care and drawing on our expertise there. But then we also have to make sure that we're getting care provided quickly in a timely way. And I think you're going to see really good news on that over the coming months, because we're making a lot of important reforms to ensure that our vets can get their care and get it in a timely way. And the last thing I'd say on this, Larry, is the good news about this challenge is that veterans overwhelmingly want to get their care at VA. And so we just have to make sure that we're implementing best practices in a way to make that easy.
Well, the challenge, though, is financial. The VA looking for a 27% boost in its budget for community care for fiscal year 22, and then another 24% increase from the current funding level for the subsequent fiscal year 2023. So, I mean, this comes with a very big price tag. I understand that often this is far more convenient for veterans than going to a VA facility, but how is that financially sustainable?
Well, remember that that's coming off of a lower baseline, and what we're also seeing, Larry, at the same time is a significant demand for care in the system. So that is to say, not in the community, but actually in VA. And we've seen over those same months that I just mentioned, March, April, and May of this year, we're seeing record requests for care in the direct care system. And we also know, as I said a minute ago, that vets far prefer the direct care system. So so you're absolutely right to raise this. We do have to get smarter about how we're managing those costs. But we also have to just get better about how we're providing care in the system so that we keep our vets in there. Is it a cost question over time? Absolutely. But I think with managing some of these reforms, we'll be in a position to ensure that we maintain this integrated healthcare system, national integrated healthcare system that is the VA, and we can do that while managing this increased cost of care in the community.
We're talking with the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, Dennis McDonough, joining us on Air Talk. As you know, of course, here in Southern California, particularly at the West LA VA, there have been deep concerns about homelessness among veterans there, and there have been a number of encampments on the perimeter of the VA grounds. There's an effort to try and use some of the surplus VA property in West Los Angeles for housing of people who've been without housing in Southern California. What is the VA's obligation to house homeless veterans, and what specifically in West LA is being done there to accommodate that?
Yeah, thanks so much, Larry. The veterans' homelessness is a national problem, and we've made good progress in addressing that issue over the last decade. There's now half as many homeless vets in 2021 as there were in 2010. But that doesn't mean there's not significant problems remaining. And in fact, of the number of about 37,000 homeless vets currently in the country, about one in every three of those is in LA.
Wow.
If we're going to get this issue addressed, we're going to have to get it addressed right there in LA. So the president has set aside a significant increase of nearly $350 million additional over this year for next year in addressing homelessness. That includes things like significant funding for what we call supportive services for low-income vets. Those are some of the vets that we see in the situation in LA. We do things like providing care, treatment, and rehabilitative services for vets who qualify in LA and elsewhere. We've seen somewhere around a couple of hundred vets participate in that programming. That provides comprehensive services, not just housing, but the healthcare services, the mental health, substance abuse disorder services that are necessary to keep vets who are housed in their housing. And we'll see, frankly, I'll just be candid with you, Larry. I think this was not given the attention it should have been given over the course of the last 4 years at the national level. That's changing with President Biden and his budget request and with me and this building at VA. And it's changing with the significant investments that Mayor Garcetti is putting into homelessness in his budget this year. So I feel very confident that with this housing first agenda, increased resources, and focus on making sure that our vets get them.
Secretary McDonough, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it very much. I leave you with Lucy in Pasadena, says kudos to the VA. My brother is a veteran, recently hospitalized, recovered under VA care, and the service was great. Lucy, thank you for sharing that. And Secretary McDonough, I hope we can talk with you again soon to talk about some additional important areas for veterans here in Southern California.
That'd be great. Thanks so much, Larry.
Thank you very much. That's Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, Dennis McDonough, with us on Air Talk. Coming right up, it's Dr. Peter Chin Hong, infectious disease specialist.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.